I want to start by sharing today and remind us of some prophecies that God gave us. Is that okay? And take us through a number of things that have happened in church, in our history. Anybody remember a lady called Hazel Reeves? Yes. Who was here when Hazel Reeves was around? Okay. Those of you that don't know Hazel, Hazel was the wife of the first pastor of Oasis Christian Centre. They were the longest serving pastors at Oasis. They were there for, I think, about 13 years. They've been two of the pastors, and myself, and I've been around for over 10 years. Hazel's husband died, went to be with the Lord, and during one of the services that she was in, where another pastor was looking after the church at that time, she gave a prophecy. Some of you will know this. I'm going to read it out to you, and then I'm going to come back to it later on. This is what it says. A portrayal was given of a large and roomy castle standing in beautiful and spacious grounds, waiting to be explored. However, a deep moat surrounded the grounds, which prevented a group of people standing on the opposite bank from crossing over, as the moat was too wide to jump. On the edge of the water in the castle grounds was a man calling out, "If you want to come across, there is a way. Look closely at the water and you will see just below the surface stepping stones leading to where I am standing. You will get your feet wet in crossing, but do not be afraid, for these stones are firmly embedded in solid rock and you cannot sink. Just keep your eyes upon me and you will come safely across." This is what she says. It was impressed upon the spirit of the one giving the prophecy that the Lord himself is the one who has prepared a large place which has not yet been explored, which is greater than any experience that has been known to us. And he is calling to those who want to enter this place, come across the water. However, this cannot be reached by one single stride. Each circumstance through which we are to pass is to be seen as a stepping stone leading to greater things the Lord has prepared for us. We are not to look at our present difficult circumstances and becoming discouraged, but we're to fix our eyes upon him and the vision before us. This will require an exercise of faith, for we shall get our feet wet. But he is reminding us that our faith will not fail, for it is resting firmly on solid ground. We shall not sink or be submerged beneath the circumstance of life through which we are passing, and the waves will not overwhelm us. We need only to keep our eyes on the goal before us, and step by step we shall be led into the larger place which the Lord desires to occupy and to explore. And on our journey, I believe, since I've been coming back, we've been taking steps of faith, and step upon step to where God wants to take us to. And I want to try and explain, I think, where we are now, to remind us of the vision, and I think what God wants to do. Is that okay? And that requires each of us to play a part in this. I'm going to share some other prophetic words in a minute. When we talk about revival, we probably all have got different things in our mind when we what we think is revival, what somebody else thinks is revival. And we all use the word revival, but the revival we want to see, I think we'll agree, is we want to see the power of God in our communities, don't we? We want to see the power of God released into our communities so that people get saved, people get healed, people get delivered, and lives are transformed. Would you agree with me on that? Yes, Pastor Robin, I'd agree with you on that. You see, I believe that God does want to do such a thing amongst this town, amongst this nation. Who believes with me? Who believes that God loves these people? And he wants to see something happen himself. I want to read you a couple of prophetic words. The first one is from Jane Dean, that gave me this in 20th of April 2008. I was reading that this week, and God, this is one of the things I felt God just say to me, "Robin, you need to share this." I saw a picture. I was stood in front of a huge dam. The wall was dark, smooth and concave. I felt overshadowed in the dark. I could see that the water was high and on the brim of the wall. The water looked pure and crystal. that it was waiting to break. It was being held back. There was none spilling over, and I looked into the wall to see if there was a crack or a break or a gate where the water could flow through, but there was none. I felt the interpretation is this, that the water is God's spirit dammed up and waiting to break. The water on the brim is just a glimpse of what is there. This is what we have already experienced. We've only seen a glimpse of the power of God's spirit. There is more to come. More than we've ever known or imagined before. We are still in darkness by comparison to what is to come. God's spirit is waiting to burst forth. When it does, it will be a time of cleansing and power. The dam is full to capacity. I'll share another prophetic, which is given on the 5th of April, the same year. I can see a dry valley, bone dry, dying, and there is a tsunami wave coming through the valley, wiping everything away, cleaning everything as it clears the dried, dying ground. And it is replaced, it springs forth with vibrant, lush greenery. And then the second part of that is there is an even bigger wave behind that wave. Does anybody remember when we were in that prayer meeting that I called and a number of you came in the weeks? Can anybody remember that prayer meeting? It's obviously a fantastic one, wasn't it? I believe that if we do things God asks us to do as a church, if we do it together, then we'll see a new wave come in. I've called this sermon Stepping Out, Catching the Next Wave. It's probably a bit of a clever title, but it's what I believe. Stepping out and catching the next wave of God. I believe that this move of God, this wave, this revival, whatever we want to call it, will come when you and I as Christians take the kingdom of God and the gospel to as many people who have no Christian faith, spending time with them, bringing them to faith. There is not going to be any substitute for hard work in this. There's going to be prayer and hard work as we go out to the unchurched people, take the kingdom of God there, and then God will move. Now, what we all want is for people just come rushing through the door and to get saved, because it makes it easy for us, don't we? We want every chair to be filled because we just prayed a prayer to God, fill this place, and people come flocking in. And I'm not sure on this next wave that that's going to happen. I believe maybe that second wave that's going to follow that will be a time like that where people will flock in, they'll hear the good news somewhere, and they'll just come in and want to find Jesus. And we have had some people that have done that, and it's almost like a little taste of what God's going to do. You know, when God does something like that, he just throws something in and he goes, oh yeah, God's going to do something there wonderful. And he has. But for this next wave that we're going to catch, there's something we will need to do. I want to remind ourselves of the previous teaching that I've brought this year. And part of it is living in life not as we planned it to be. Life not as we expected it to be. Do you remember that series? Life not as we planned it. And then after that, we talked about healing and the power of God. And we had visiting speakers, and I circled that month. I remember once asking Angie to come in my office, and I said, in this month, Angie, I'm going to preach on healing. Remember that, don't you? And we got visiting speakers on. I never once told them what I was preaching on. And they preached on the same subjects that God was speaking to us. And it amazes me, and it shouldn't amaze me, but it amazes me how God confirms everything that he's doing. And he uses people. Angie was telling me that one of the ladies that comes here occasionally, Helen Kessie, had a really bad fall this week. And she bruised her arm. She bruised all her side very badly. And she started to read the Bible and look at scriptures on healing. And the next day, the bruising had all gone. And she was well. Because she started to declare, and no pain, all the pain had gone. She started to believe that God could heal. Oasis Christian Centre is not called at this time by God to have a come to us model. In other words, you come to us, you hear the good news, you get saved. That's not what I'm believing God is saying. That's not what I'm feeling in my heart. The Jesus model And therefore, the Oasis Christian Centre model is to go to the people. Harry, you shared that testimony today. Thank you for sharing that. Worship team, you chose those songs. I never asked you to choose those songs, but you talked so much about in those songs of what God is saying to us. The Jesus model for us, the OCC model for us, the vision for us is that we have to go to the people. We cannot expect people to come to us. The Jesus model is a model of bringing the kingdom of God to the people. And the truth is that you and I, each of us, carry the authority and power of Jesus Christ. Isn't that true? Isn't that true? Jesus said, you go, and I invest in you the power and the authority of the kingdom of God. So wherever we place our feet, whatever circumstance we find ourselves, even in the most difficult circumstances, we take the power of God and the authority of God into that situation. We are carriers of the kingdom of God. So if you go into a situation that is far from the kingdom of God, it's the kingdom of darkness. When you place your feet in there, you bring the kingdom of God. You bring light into a dark place. And we need to get hold of the fact, church, that when we go there, we carry the authority of Jesus Christ. He's invested us in his name, in the power that he's given us, the kingdom of God here and where we are and where we go. I'd just like to read you another. This is on the 6th of April written to us. You might be interested in this one, Harry. To see revival, we must experience his yearning for the lost, to be broken before him, to be humbled. Then we will be able to ask him for the fullness of what he has for us, and then he will hear us, and then he will answer our prayer. So we need to have a yearning and an understanding for the lost, to be broken even, to be humbled, and then we will be able to ask him for the fullness of what he has for us, and then he will hear and answer our prayer. On the same day, as I have sent my disciples, I am sending you. I give you authority over evil. Take nothing for the journey. Go with what you have. And this is a scripture that was given us on the 5th of April, 2008. They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons. They anointed many sick people with oil and they were healed. I have a list of those prophetic words in my office if anybody wants to read them. When we bring the kingdom of God to the people, then revival will come. That's you very quiet. When we bring the kingdom of God to the people, then revival will come. Who believes me with that statement? Half of you. This is what Erwin McManus wrote in a book called An Unstoppable Force. Has anybody read that book? Have a read of it. Interesting book. Whereas we should be saying we are the church and we are here to serve the lost and broken world, the mantra was increasingly that what does the church have to offer me? Or in other words, if you want me to be a part of it, you better cater for my tastes and needs. And as he looks at the churches in the UK, he asks that question, as it increasingly moved from the fact that the church should be working with the lost and the dying and seeking to reach them, to a place of a bless me mentality. If you want me to be part of your church, you need to cater for my tastes and my needs. So if I like the building really warm, I want it warm. If I like quiet music, I want quiet music. If I like noisy music, I want noisy music. Do you know you can't please, thank you. You can't please all the people all the time. Anybody heard that? I'm going to change that. You can't please any of the people any of the time. Do you know what? Sometimes I get so fed up with people moaning over little things. And it's the little foxes that get in the way, isn't it? Who knows that? Might tie some of those little foxes' tails and set a light to them. because I get a little bit tired sometimes of people complaining and moaning, when actually what we're here for is to hear the word of God, to worship God together, to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, to see the miraculous happen, and then to go into the kingdom, take the kingdom of God into the world, and to see people healed and saved. Isn't that true? So if you're unhappy about some things in church, come and talk to me, but don't complain. The life of Oasis Christian Centre cannot be determined by our services. Didn't we have a great time in church today? Isn't it wonderful being part of Oasis Christian Centre? Because we've had a great meeting on a Sunday. I'm using a bit of technology here and it keeps going off. It has to be determined by what happens to a lost and broken world. That's what matters. When we leave here and we get full of God's Spirit, the life of Oasis Christian Centre, as far as God is concerned, is what happens when we take the kingdom of God. What happens to the lost and broken world? It is determined by the kingdom of God that breaks into the lives of unchurched people and those lives that are radically transformed by the power and the word of God. Friends, we don't go to church. We are the church. Isn't that true? Would you say to somebody next to you, we don't go to church, we are the church. We are ordinary people with an extraordinary calling upon our lives. Isn't that true? Do you know you are an ordinary person with an extraordinary call upon your life? Do you believe that? Do you believe God's called you to do extraordinary things? God has not called you to be mediocre in things. He's not called you just to get through each day in life. He's called you to go out and do great things for him. Do you believe that? You are an extraordinary person in God today, in the things that God has for you. The church is a verb, it's not a noun. The church is a verb, it's not a noun. In other words, it's something we are and we do. It's not something we go to. Does that make sense? When we say the church of God here, it's what we are and what we do. It's not a place where we go. Although we do bring church to people wherever we go because of who we are and what we do. And I want to respectfully remind us here, and I believe God is reminding us, that we are here to serve primarily the lost and the broken world. Otherwise, when we became a Christian, God would take us home to be with him. Isn't that true? We're here to serve this lost and dying world. They need somebody to help them. They're lost, they're broken, and God wants you and I to do it. Tap yourself and say, Pastor Robin's talking to me now. He wants you and I to do it. He's expecting you and I to do it. He's hoping that you and I will get the message that we need to go out and to do it in the place that we place our feet, wherever that may be. Now, on a positive note, and this is, I say this right from my heart, I am staggered by the level of giftings we have in this church. When we look around and we see the quality and giftings of people here, I'm amazed that God has given us such a fantastic bunch of people. People next to you, God has sent for you and for me and to build the kingdom here. And if Jesus can take 12 people, 12 men, and turn the world upside down, what could he do with us, bunch of rabble? What could he do with us? Do you think he might even be able to change our town? Do you think he could? Through 150 to 200 people, do you think he could? I think he could do something in our town that could change it forever. Now, I'm not saying we're the only church where God's going to use. There are a number of churches in Redditch that God wants to use. I'm only concerned at this point in what God wants to do with us, because I've got to make sure that we're doing what God wants us to do. But why can't God turn our town round with us? Or our nation? And I've said a number of times, maybe a voice will come from here to speak into our nation. Why not? Maybe it's you today. Two dimensions of the kingdom of God that I want us to focus on today. Hospitality and holiness. Hospitality and holiness. I'm going to clarify that now. In his kingdom, in the kingdom of God, all are welcomed. No one is turned away. Isn't that wonderful? The only faith where that happens. Everybody is welcome. No one is turned away. That's why the Christian faith, the universal faith, took off with the disciples. Because anybody and everybody was allowed into the Christian faith. However, it's a place of radical life change where all who enter are called to place every aspect of their life under God's rule and leadership. You remember we sang about Lord and Master? It is a place that we declare all are welcome, but in the kingdom of God, lives are radically changed where the lordship of Jesus Christ, where we submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ and our lives are radically changed. We don't preach a wishy-washy gospel that you come to Jesus and you can live as you are and stay as you are. Jesus never said that. He said to the person caught in sin, don't sin anymore. Go and sin no more. And you know, sometimes, and I don't know whether I'm guilty of this at Oasis Christian Centre, and I've apologised to the Lord if I have, where I've preached a message where I say, you come to Jesus, you know, and you know, you just take your time and sort yourself out. As a Christian, when you become a Christian, you have to submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ, which means sin has to go. Isn't that true? It means our old life has to start to die. Now, we're not going to be perfect and we're not going to be like Jesus straight away. Probably it's going to take us until we get to heaven. But there needs to be something in our life where Jesus is Lord of our life and sin has to start to die and things have to change. And we preach that message. And I want to encourage you, when you take the kingdom of God out, and I'm going to encourage you to do that after this meeting, you preach that all are welcome, but Jesus loves you enough to change you so you don't stay where you are. The problem is, if we go out and preach it and we're not doing it, it's a bad example. So sometimes God has to start with us. And we have to, maybe today, submit our lives to the lordship of Jesus once again. And this is a message I want us to proclaim loud and clear. From Oasis Christian Centre, from every member of Oasis Christian Centre, every person that goes out, we declare that the kingdom of God is here. And it's for everyone, the whosoever, but it will mean a life change and God will help you change. It is inclusive and it's holy. Jesus calls people with these words. He says, you can come as you are, but you can't stay where you've been. You can't stay where you've been. You have to move forward. And as a church, you know, we can't go back. I've said this before, haven't I? We can't go back. We can't stay where we are. We have to move forward. Because if we stay where we are, we'll die. We have to move forward. When God's moving forward and God moves forward, we have to go with him. We can't stay where we are. And people's lives have to know that as well. People need to know that. You can come as you are, but you can't stay where you've been. I can't remember how long ago it was now, but Angie talked about a Kairos time. Do you remember that? It's probably about April 2008, actually. I want us to return to what Kairos means. Kairos is a Greek word. It is a word, it doesn't talk about ordinary time. Kairos is about extraordinary time. It's a moment of opportunity that opens up, which must be seized. So something happens in the heavenly realms that touch the earth, and you have to seize it at that time before it goes. It's a Greek word that it talks about an aperture of time when you see the target and then you have to hit the target. So, for example, if we're in an archery range and people were standing in front of the target, you couldn't see them, but then they move out of the way, then all of a sudden, Phil, you're my target, I can see you, I have to get my bow and arrow and I have to fire now to hit that target right in your chest. Because otherwise, if I miss the opportunity, the target's moved or people are standing and I can't hit the target. That's a Kairos time. We talked about a now time. You prayed that this morning, didn't you? In your prayer. Kairos time is a unique time. We are in a now time where the aperture has opened for us, I believe, as a church. God is wanting to do things He's doing things in the town that we do not even see. Do you remember I said, when we think nothing is happening, God is working. Well, we're waiting in that waiting room. God is working. And I believe in my heart that this is aperture, this time now that's opened for us, where if we go out and we do, and we bring the kingdom of God into the situation, that dam will break. And the power of God will come, and it will cleanse. Both of those prophecies talk about two things. The water being clear, which is beautiful, brings cleansing. And I believe that this is a time, and I don't know how long we have this aperture open for us, but it is a time where we need to hear what God is saying, and we need to do. Mav, for you here? Yeah, Mav gave this prophetic word a few years ago. I am opening a door into the town that you may move among the people to water the seed with my word. You will be amazed at how quickly the seed will grow and be ready for harvest. Indeed, it will be though seed time and harvest are one. Now that's an amazing time, isn't it? Who believes this? Who wants to believe it? Who doesn't care less? I'm saying to you, we've got to believe for our time. Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness when he prayed and he fasted. When he came out, he uses these words in Mark chapter 1, verse 15. The time is fulfilled. This is a kairos word. It means kairos. Now, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Or, if you want to paraphrase it, at last the time has come. Friends, at last the time has come for us. It's our kairos time. It's our now time. It's the time that we have to seize and we have to take with both hands and we have to do what God is saying. It's a message that we're going to preach. And if we seize it courageously, there will be acceleration and there will be advancement in the kingdom of God. Amen. If we seize it courageously. In this season, there is no manual, apart from the word of God, of course, where we can say we've been this way before, so we know what to do. Can I tell you, I don't know what God is going to do. And that's hard for me because my wife will tell you I like all my ducks in a row. I like to know where God's going to take me from here to there. And lately he's not. He's just saying, trust me, I'm going to come back in a minute to that first prophecy that I read you in a little while. There isn't a manual that will tell us how to do everything. But I love what Mark Stibbe, anybody heard of Mark Stibbe? Mark Stibbe writes this, I can run to my Emmanuel, my God with us. I can run to him for the answers. And each of us, I want to encourage you, run to the Lord Jesus, come into his presence and see how he wants you to bring the kingdom of God into situations where you find yourself. If you have your Bibles, turn to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. This has been on my heart for a long time now. I have prayed this over a number of you. I pray it in our meetings quite often, in case you haven't realised, you don't know why I'm praying and what I'm praying. This is a season of Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Now this should be the normal Christian life, shouldn't it? In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, do not lean on your own understanding. How many of us try to lean on our own understanding? How many of us try and work things out all the time? We don't understand and we try and work it out and we try to fathom in my head what God is doing or why these things are happening. And God says in Proverbs chapter 3, trust in the Lord, your God, with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. I think this is a time for us to grasp hold of this scripture and understand it. If you want to come this way, this was the prophecy, look closely in the water and you'll see just below the surface stepping stones leading to where I am standing. You will get your feet wet in crossing, but do not be afraid, for these stones are firmly embedded in the rock and you cannot sink. Just keep your eyes on me and you will come safely across. I was taken, as I was thinking about this prophecy, to when I was about 19 years of age, 20 years of age, and I went to a place, the Isle of Wight. And in the Isle of Wight, there is this park, and across the park is a pond, and across this pond is some stepping stones. And a lot of them you can see. Has anybody been on things like that where you've got water and stepping stones? And you sort of tentatively get on there and you think, I can make it to the end. But as you get closer to the end, the stepping stones are there, but you can only just see them. Has anybody got, everybody got the picture? And you know why the water's clear? You know, I can trust, I can just about see that stepping stone, so I'm going to go for it. I might get my feet wet, but I'm going to go for it. Because I know it's there, I'm just going to have a go. And the problem is, if the wind comes and starts to blow the water, I can't see the stepping stone anymore. Does anybody understand what I'm saying here? And as a church, where we are now, we've got to learn to trust God implicitly with the small things and the big things, so that when we can't see the next stepping stone, we can still step out in faith, knowing we're going to get a bit wet, but it's still there. Does that make sense? And one of the things I felt the Lord say to me this morning was, this is what I want you to say to some of the people. So this is what I'm going to say. Some of you trust God in the small things implicitly. Absolutely in the small things. But in the big things, you trust your own understanding. Some of you, some of me, us, trust God in the really big things, but some of the small things he doesn't get involved in. And God wants to be involved in the small and the great. So that while the water is clear and calm, we learn to trust him. So, this is my stepping stone here. I'm coming, I'm seeing the next stepping stone, and I'm walking until the point where actually I can't see the next stepping stone because the water is all choppy and I can't see it. But I know I've got to take this step. Do I do it? Can I do it? Have I got the faith in God to do this now? And then maybe I'm wavering, or maybe I'm going to go, no, I'm going. And today, the aperture, the time is for us to step into the next stepping stone and catch what God wants to do. Does that make sense? Have I lost anybody? This is what I feel God is clearly saying to me as a church. And there is only a time frame where God is going to bless us in this. Two of our values are these. If you see our values outside, you'll see them if you see on our literature. We value people who do not know Jesus Christ, and we offer them the opportunity to receive him and enter into Christian fellowship. That's one of our values. Receive Jesus, enter into fellowship, but that does mean radically your life will change. Our other value, or one of our other values, is we value our community and seek to reach out to them with the love of Jesus Christ. We seek to reach out to them with the love of Jesus Christ. We don't seek to wait for them to come in. We seek to reach out to them with the love of Jesus Christ. Who came into membership a few weeks ago? Can you put your hand up? That's it. Great. Now, do you remember I gave an illustration of Winston Churchill? And I love strategic stuff. I'm studying a lot of it at the moment. I want to be a good strategist and hear what God says and do great things for God, even when it seems like there is impossible odds against us. When he spoke to the nation, I'll just remind you of what he said. He never promised external prosperity. He never promised a return of the good old days, but only a satisfaction of having done a difficult task well. That's all he promised people. I'm only offering you the satisfaction of doing a job done well. And all I'm offering you today is the satisfaction of doing a good thing for God and doing it well. I'm not offering you an easy time. It's not going to be easy. If I tell you that, you'll come back to me and say, Robin, you never said it. You said it was going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. Some of us are going to find ourselves in very difficult circumstances. I'll finish with a scripture in a minute that tells us the kind of circumstances we find ourselves in. But what I can offer you, if you'll take it, is the satisfaction of doing something really well for God. Who wants that? Because you know, at the end of the day, when you face God, I want those words. I'm sure you do. Well done. Good and faithful servant, enter into your promised rest. It's not a time to rest now, guys. It's not time to lie down and allow the world to go by, because there's lost and dying people. There's like Harry's friend, 21 years of age, who gives up in life and ends it. And you know, for every one of Harry's friends in Redditch, there's probably many, 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 many more who just haven't done that yet. The end of that talk of or speech, he says this word: the new world, with all its power and might, steps forth to the liberation of the old. I want the power of God, the kingdom of God, to bring liberation, the kingdom of darkness, don't you? To grasp people out of darkness. To say, come on this way, come on. This is the right way. Don't go that way anymore, because it's going to lead to death. And the power of the kingdom of God breaking into the kingdom of darkness, and people's lives are transformed forever. This is a noble calling, it's a high calling for us, but we can't ignore this. In order to fulfill the vision of Oasis Christian Centre, which I've shared with you a number of times, and if you're visiting and you don't know, go and have a look at the vision and values. But the vision of the values is there, not because we want a nice pretty picture. It's not because we want to have something that nobody else has got. We have it because without the vision, the people perish. And we have it because you need to get behind it. You need to understand it. Ask me questions about it. Look at the visions and values. If you don't know, go on the website, download them, put them in your Bible. Take them with you and understand why they're there. They're there for a purpose and a reason. This is what Jesus says to those as he sends the disciples out. He does not say, go into the world and everything will be fine and you'll have no problems. He never said that. I wish he did. Anybody want to join me with that? I wish it would be easy, but it's not. Luke chapter 10, verse 2. Then he said to them, the harvest is truly great, but the labourers are few. Isn't that sad? There is a great harvest, but the labourers are so few. And do you know why that is? Because they're too busy saying in church, provide for my tastes, provide for my needs, and I'll come to church. You want my tithes and offerings, you do the kind of things that make me feel good in church. Now, it's a hard statement, I'm sorry. Am I right? Am I wrong? This is what he says. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest will send out labourers into the harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you as lambs amongst wolves. Thank you. Who wants to be a sacrificial lamb today? To lay down your life on the altar for Jesus Christ and to go. Oasis Christian Centre is not called to be a come-to-us model. It is a go to them. The Jesus model is a model of bringing the kingdom of God to people. And what I want you to do with this sermon, please, is to go away and to seek God's face for yourself and to ask him to give you a strategy for taking the kingdom of God to where you are. We all have different lifestyles. We all have different places that we go. Many people go to work. Many people mixed with a lot of unsaved people. Some of you work part of your living and go and work in people's houses that are unsaved. What's God going to call you to do? What do you want God to do? Or what does God want you to do in that situation where you place your feet on Monday morning at 9 o'clock or Monday at 5 o'clock or 9 o'clock, wherever you place your feet? What does God want you to do? And when you know that, I want you to tell me. Is that okay? Because I need to get some feedback from you for what God's doing. Would you tell that? Would you come back and say, you know, I remember a few months ago, Tina, you said to me, I went to the park and I prayed for this lady and she gave her life to Jesus. Why did you go to the park? That's what you thought. But God had a different plan. It's good. Wherever you place your feet. I'm going to share another prophetic word with you. I'm nearly finished. Thank you for your patience. I know that you all really love me, don't you? That was 10. If I don't get 20, I'm leaving. No, I'm joking. This is a prophetic word given to us. It was given to me and Angie, actually, initially, but it was given to the church by somebody that had not long got saved and come out of the world into our church. This is what they said. We must listen to the messages that are given and put them into practice. We must not just listen, go home and come back next week. We must seek God and do what he commands from his word. That was an interesting statement from a new Christian, isn't it? But how many of us on a Sunday go home thinking about our dinner, forget the message and come back next week? Fill me up and bless me time. And the reason that we preach the messages here is because the word of God is powerful. It's living. It speaks to us. It directs us. And if we do not apply it and do not do what God asks us to do, then it's like casting pearls before swine. It's a hard statement, but it's true. If we don't feed on the word of God, if we don't do what we were here, we waste it. And we can't do that, can we? We need to do something with the word of God, each of us. Before we have a new building, we will change. We will be a different people. We will have a new building one day. I don't know when it's going to be, to be honest. I'm frustrated like some of you. Some of you said to me, when are we going to have this building? I don't know. But I know God will provide. But the difference is when we get into that new building, we'll be different. You and I will be different. We won't be the same as we were before. And the kingdom of God will move in power. Ben, could you play for me for a minute? Could you just close your eyes? That would be good. If you wouldn't mind doing that for me. This isn't a word of chastisement in any way at all. I don't want to do those kind of things. It's not me. But I have to tell the truth. And I have to share the truth that God's put in my heart. I'd love to be able to preach a really nice message sometimes. But I have to preach what God's given me. I can only give you what I've got. That's it. And I want to ask you today, when God says, who will I send? Would you say, Lord, send me out as a lamb amongst wolves into situations, Lord, where I'm out of my comfort zone, I do not feel comfortable, where I can declare that the kingdom of God is at hand, that all are welcome, and that in it lives can be changed forever. I'm going to take the word of God with me, and I'm going to share it to this lost and broken world, and I'm going to do everything I can. And when I can't do anything more, God, you're going to take over. But from this point, you're determined in your heart, things are not going to be as they've been before. You're going to seek God's face for strategy yourself, and you're going to go to the park, to the coffee shop, get on that bus, get on that, in your car, and go to someone's house, wherever it is. You're going to do it, and you're going to obey God. Obedience is better than sacrifice. We've got to obey him. And if that's spoken to you today, I just want you to lift, if you have your Bible, I want you to take your Bible in your hand and just lift it in the air. Keep your eyes closed. I don't want everybody just to see. I want you to do that yourself. Lift your word of God high and say, this is my standard, and I'm going to raise it high. This is my standard, God, that I'm going to raise high. I'm adopting it. I'm taking hold of it, and I'm saying, this is your word. I am not ashamed of the word of God. It is the power of the kingdom of God. And Lord, I'm going to carry this word, not just in my heart. I'm going to verbalize it. I'm going to love people. I'm going to show in practical ways. But your word is going to be raised high in my life, Lord Jesus. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm going to declare it. And Lord, your power and your authority is going to go with me. This is your power and authority. It's your word. It's your word, not mine. When your word goes forth, Lord, it's going to break forth into that darkness, and it is going to bring light and healing and salvation, so it will be commonplace to people around us today. So with this word, I'm going to take hold of it, Lord, and I'm going to listen to your voice, not Pastor Robbins, because what he has to say isn't really that important. Only what you have to say, God, is important. And in my life, I'm going to apply it now. And I'm going to do what you ask. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for choosing me. Thank you, Lord, for sending me. And Lord, I run into the arms of my Emmanuel to lead me today. Amen. Everybody still okay? Anybody asleep? Everybody ready for something new and precious? Yep. Wonderful.